This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. There's a case coming for argument at the Supreme Court next week that, while maybe not one of the biggies of this term that all the early coverage and previews has been about, will nonetheless have real impact on a whole lot of people in this economy. Back in the mid-1980s, Vanity Fair licensed a picture of Prince that photographer Lynn Goldsmith had taken. Paid her $400. Then the magazine commissioned Andy Warhol to make one of his trademark screen prints based on Goldsmith's picture to use alongside an article about Prince. 30 years later, Goldsmith discovered that Warhol had actually made 16 works of art instead of just one, and then the lawyers got involved. The legal question before the court next week is whether Warhol violated copyright law by making those extra prints without permission, or whether he maybe transformed the picture into something completely new. The economic question, as Marketplace's Peter Balanon Rosen reports, is about how artists make art and whether they get paid for it.
Andy Warhol used plenty of images he didn't create. His Marilyn Monroe's, a reworking of a promo for the film Niagara. His Jackie Kennedy's, news clippings. His Campbell's soup can, a can of soup.
To create a portrait just like Andy Warhol, there's a few steps that I would take.
In the lobby of the Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh, Caroline Mead demos his process. You take an image, reduce it to black and white, burn it onto a silk screen.
And then give it a tight pull.
Paint a canvas in bright colors, silk screen the original image on top, and boom.
This is completely transformed from what I started, and I did this all with one screen and a little bit of paint.
Warhol used tools of mass production and pop culture symbols to raise these questions.
Is this a ripoff? What is ripoff? What is original? What is authentic?
Which is pretty much the question the Supreme Court will have to answer. Did Warhol rip off Goldsmith's photo of Prince? Goldsmith declined to comment, but photographer Jeff Sedlick knows her situation. He's licensed photos out, but he's also seen plenty of his work, like a famous portrait of Miles Davis, show up in others' art and tattoos. No credit, no license, no money.
My whole existence as a business person in the arts and as an artist depends on copyright law. I need to know that I'm able to generate income from my various photographs.
Lawyers for the Andy Warhol Foundation say Warhol transformed Goldsmith's photo into a comment on the nature of celebrity. In 2019, a federal district court agreed, saying it was an example of what's known as fair use. Basically, using it without permission was fair. But an appeals court said, no. Warhol retained essential elements of Goldsmith's photo. He didn't transform it enough. Now the Supreme Court has to decide what type of use is fair.
Traditionally, fair use has protected building on prior works.
Jane Ginsburg, law professor at Columbia University, says not all building is fair. She says courts consider why something was used without permission, like the last time the Supreme Court looked at artistic fair use in the 90s.
The song Pretty Woman, the Roy Orbison song.
Pretty woman, walking down the street.
It was parodied by a rap group called Two Live Crew.
The court ruled the parody was fair use because it wasn't just a cover. It transformed a 60s ballad into a rap commentary.
Commenting on the naivete of the original work.
Latif Matima teaches law at Howard University and directs the Institute of Intellectual Property and Social Justice. He says there's another important factor courts look at when deciding if something's fair use.
What impact would this unauthorized use have on the commercial market for the underlying work?
In this case, could Warhol's portrait be a market substitute for Goldsmith's photo and crowd it out of the market? Questions like this are largely left up to judges' discretion. Matima points out that leaves the door open for biases about certain groups.
Groups that for other reasons are marginalized and placed lower on the social infrastructure.
A lot of people are paying attention to this case. Fan fiction creators say limiting fair use could hurt their community. Recording industry reps have told the court a broad interpretation would undermine their ability to, quote, protect their valuable copyrights. Brooklyn artist Deborah Cass, who serves on the Andy Warhol Foundation board, says preserving visual artists' ability to incorporate others' work into their own is important.
I think when you use pre-existing language, whether it's other people's art or painting or art history, there's a common language others can read.
The Supreme Court will see whether they read Warhol's work as fair use or a potentially illegal ripoff of Goldsmith during arguments next week. I'm Peter Balanon-Rosen for Marketplace.